Good afternoon and welcome to Shoe Radio. My name is John Whiffin.
And I'm Will Pye. We're coming to you live at 2:45 on Monday the 29th of April, but you'll also be able to listen back to us as a podcast that will be uploaded soon after we go off air.
Coming up on Shoe Radio Sports Special Show this afternoon, an update on all of our local football sides at the business end of the EFL season. We're talking Snooker World Championship action from the Crucible, what the future of the Crucible looks like, and so much more.
First, though, the news headlines on this Monday lunchtime with Joe Burton.
Thank you. SNP leader Hamza Yousaf has resigned as Scottish First Minister. It comes after he ended a power-sharing deal with the Green Party last week, and opposition parties in Holyrood had tabled two no-confidence motions in both Mr. Yousaf and the SNP.
I am not willing to trade my values and principles or do deals with whomever simply for retaining power. Therefore, after spending the weekend reflecting on what is best for my party, for the government and for the country I lead, I've concluded that repairing our relationship across the political divide can only be done with someone else at the helm.
Rishi Sunak has refused to rule out a general election in July. The Prime Minister has previously stated that it is his working assumption that the election will be held in the second half of the year, but Mr. Sunak has until January 2025 to call the election. Campaigning is stepping up ahead of the local elections on Thursday. As well as local council seats, 1.4 million people will be able to vote for the next South Yorkshire mayor. Transport is one of the key manifesto pledges in our region. Three people have been taken to hospital after a house fire caused by a broken e-bike battery. The inside of the property on Eccleshall Road is said to have been completely destroyed. The fire service says that everyone has been accounted for. More than 3 million people could lose their disability benefits under new plans. The government says that benefit spending is rising at an unsustainable rate. Reforms could include stopping regular cash payments and replacing them with talking therapies for people with conditions including anxiety and depression. It could impact people like Carol Vickers, who have long-term conditions.
I have times when I can't get out of bed, and I have times when to anybody on the street I'd look perfectly well. And the constant reassessment just exacerbates people's symptoms, especially if they've got mental health problems. You know, if you're depressed or anxious and you're living on edge like that all the time, it's awful.
Campaigners are protesting outside Parliament ahead of a debate about assisted dying later today. A 200,000-strong petition triggered the motion. It's backed by Dame Esther Ransom, as the broadcaster who has cancer has signed up to the Dignitas Clinic in Switzerland. Dr. Amy Proffitt is an expert in palliative medicine, and she has concerns about legislating on the issue.
I ask for healthcare to look at this again, and if we want this in this country, we need to go back to the public to have a proper conversation about what it is.
Barnsley Hospital is applying to trial Martha's Rule. It will allow patients to request an urgent review if they or their family feel they are not getting the necessary care. At least 100 NHS sites are set to implement the rule as it follows the death of 13-year-old Martha Mills in 2021. She died after failures in her treatment for sepsis at King's College Hospital in London. Def Leppard's Joe Elliott has claimed that Taylor Swift is bigger than both the Beatles and the Rolling Stones combined. The Sheffield-born singer has performed with Taylor, and he described her as being really enthusiastic and obviously a big fan. And a family in America has been reunited with their pet cat after she was accidentally mailed more than 1,000 miles to California. Galliana disappeared from her home in Utah earlier this month. She had jumped into an open cardboard box with a mail return sticker on. She was eventually rescued by an Amazon worker.
Thanks for that, Joe. Welcome to the show and thanks for joining me, John.
It's a pleasure to be here, mate. It's a beautiful day and it's really nice to start this radio week finally.
Yeah, it's looking good. It's meant to be, what is it, 19 degrees on Saturday, something like that?
Yeah, I mean, it's my birthday this weekend, so I'm really excited for that. And hopefully this is the start of a nice long period of some warm weather after a pretty miserable winter.
Yeah, we're going away in June, I think, and we want some good warm weather for that. We haven't had that for a while, actually.
No, that's the plan, but as you know, plans never come off, do they?
They don't, especially when it comes to us.
No, they never do. Our first story this evening, or this afternoon rather, it is Sheffield United. And on Saturday afternoon, Sheffield United's relegation was confirmed from the Premier League. The Blades have been rooted to the bottom of the table since early December, and Chris Wilder says that they can have no complaints with their fate.
The position that we're in, the point salary we've got is completely unacceptable. Some of the games, you know, the white flag has gone up, that's been completely unacceptable. So these are the things that we'll work on.
It's been a matter of when rather than if, hasn't it, for a long time. The squad has never looked at the required quality to compete at the top level. Their fate was sealed in an all-too-familiar big defeat at the weekend with a 5-1 loss at Newcastle.
Yes, I mean, you've got their biggest problem right there. They concede way too many goals, 97 of them in their 35 games, which is a Premier League record, and that even overtakes Derby County from when they were a, well, awful Premier League team back in, I think it was 2008. Even a managerial change early in the season from Paul Heckingbottom back to Chris Wilder didn't change much, with Chris Wilder winning only two of his 21 games since.
Yeah, people were thinking that they wouldn't actually get above the Derby points record, wasn't it? They had the record for the least amount of points in a Premier League season, and people were thinking, why were Sheffield United going to do beat that, really?
Yeah, well, you say beat it. I'm not sure if beating it is what's
something
that...
I think they lose to it.
Yes. No, they've been awful all season. They never really got to the level, and I don't think it's a surprise for anybody that they got relegated. And as we're now looking ahead to next season, the challenge of gaining promotion back to the top flight is what Wilder's talking about.
We basically need to freshen it up, and I'm as keen and committed and has got a bigger desire than I've ever had to be front and centre of that with my coaches. As I've said before, I said in my pre-match interview, it's been a really poor season.
What shape do you think they're in heading into next season?
Well, they've got to sort out their squad and their transfer business. I mean, their second top scorer, Ben Brereton-Diaz, is only on loan. I think it's from Villarreal. So there's a decision to be made there, definitely. They've also got Luke Thomas and James McAtee on loan deals. James McAtee was really, really good for them last season getting promoted. So obviously they'd want to keep them permanently. But they haven't really hit the ground running this season.
Yeah, it's difficult. Both of them young players, obviously Luke Thomas coming from Leicester City and James McAtee from Manchester City, that they were thrust into a Premier League side. Well, a Premier League side that wasn't at Premier League quality. So it's always going to be tough for them to hit the ground running. And you've also got £21 million signing Cameron Archer, who's really disappointed. I mean, he was under pressure and he's not had many chances created for him, but 4 goals in 27 games is not really good enough for that price tag, is it?
Yeah, so what do you think Sheffield United should do, really, to become less of a yo-yo club and more of a certainty in the Premier League?
Well, that's the £1 million question, isn't it, really? Because yeah. you've got teams like Norwich who've been that in the past, Leicester City, of course, who are coming back up this summer, and Sheffield United as well, that... The difficulty is they're too good for the Championship, but not quite good enough for the Premier League. And with the parachute payments, they're always probably going to come back up soon enough anyway. But at the Premier League level, you need to be at a certain level these days. The league is only getting harder and harder every year. And these days, they're just not good enough to cut it, unfortunately.
Yeah, you've got the likes of Brighton and Bournemouth, who recently have kind of gone past that level, and they've actually kicked on and really created good squads. What do you think it is about them which Sheffield United kind of need to replicate?
Well, they have to get a clear strategy that they're willing to stick with for a number of years. We saw Brighton a few years ago. They got to the Premier League with Chris Hughton, and then they sacked him. And it was a shock to people because Chris Hughton had done a great job. But the way they were intending to take the club was towards a theory of hiring young players, young coaches, and playing strong attacking football, and we've seen it work brilliantly well. I think last year they made a profit, which for a Premier League team is absolutely unheard of, and that came from selling Caicedo for huge money, from selling Alexis McAllister for huge money, and that's what's working for them, and that's worked for other teams as well. Obviously, Leicester City went down, but when they were in the Premier League, they had James Maddison, they had Harry Maguire, they had Ricardo Fuller. These guys, who they paid a lot of money for, but it worked out for them, and they then sold them on for a lot of money and continued to get better as a football club.
It's also about getting the manager position right, isn't it? Iraola for Bournemouth is quite a progressive manager. So is, it was Potter, and now it's De Zerbi for Brighton. Do you really think Wilder is that person?
I think at the right time they made the change. I think they had to do something after such a poor start to the season, but the guy they got in, what, Wilder, did it really work? I don't think it did. But the thing is, they've now got to plan for the future. They can't think about just next season. They've got to think about 5 years' time, 10 years' time. Luckily, there is some more positive news from the blue half of Sheffield, because Wednesday are only looking in one direction, and that's up. After spending 260 out of 267 days this season in the relegation zone, I can't even get my head around how mental that is, they've jumped out this weekend with a victory over West Brom. After the game, manager Danny Rowe praised his side performance.
I think I can go through the whole team today. I think for me this is the result, the outcome from the whole week again. Yeah, we trained well. I have the feeling immediately also after the Blackburn game when we started the training week that we are sharp, that we want to go.
And heading into their final fixture now, they look very likely to stay in the Championship. What a turnaround it has been for the Owls.
Oh, it really has been. It's the great escape, isn't it? We spoke a minute ago about a managerial change that didn't really work out for United. But Wednesday must be the poster boy for what can happen if a club makes the right appointment.
Yes, so Danny Rowe was appointed in October after the sacking of Chisco Munoz, and he's transformed the Owls into one of the best sides in the division on form. He's had a massive impact, but he praises the role of the fans in turning around the fortune of his side.
They deserve it, yeah, for the support for the whole season. It was not always easy in this season, yeah, with a lot of up and downs, but always there were the 12 men behind us, and this is great to see.
I mean, obviously he's right. I don't know whether you've been to Hillsborough recently, but this season it has been absolutely exceptional, the atmosphere, especially over the back half of the season rather.
It's been bouncing, hasn't it? The German was quick to stress that his side have not completed the job yet though, and still must concentrate against Sunderland on the final day of the season to get the job finished.
I told us again, yeah guys, one more, we need one more, we are still not safe. It was a great atmosphere today here. But we have to go one more, and it means, yeah, tomorrow recovery, a good week, and then we have to go to Sunderland to make the final step.
One more game, he stresses. One more against Sunderland. We're now joined by a fan on the other side of the fixture with Joe Burton, having held a Sunderland season ticket for 10 years, isn't it, Joe?
Yes.
Are you nervous about facing a side that has so much still to play for?
Well, it's impossible not to be, isn't it? Sunderland haven't had anything really to play for a few months now. It's been a really disappointing end to the season since the sacking of Tony Mowbray in November. It's kind of gone in the opposite direction to what Wednesday have gone. They got rid of Michael Beale in February. And it's a shame after such a positive return to the Championship this time last year. Wednesday, also in their first season in the Championship, you'd think that they've got the edge coming into this one. Sunderland just desperate for the campaign to be over. When the two sides last met in September, it was a 3-0 Sunderland win. There was a gap of 14 points and 20 places between the two sides. And there's very few ways of summing up the terrific job that Danny Rowe's done, other than pointing out the fact that victory on Saturday would mean closing that gap to just 3 points. And I think that sums it all up.
It doesn't really sound like Sunderland have had a great time at it, does it? Surely they'd want to go into the next season with on the front foot and having won the last game.
You would think so, but they've got no manager at the moment. They haven't done for a few months. I think it is a case that the players want the season to be over. There's people who have been really disappointing. Patrick Roberts has hurt Sheffield Wednesday quite a lot in the past. He's yet to score or get an assist this season.
Wow.
That will worry some people in blue and white. the concern that he might break his duck this weekend, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, well, for Wednesday, we do need to stress that the job isn't done yet. They could go down if they lost, and Plymouth and Birmingham both won their games. Those two are facing Hull and Norwich, respectively. So they're chasing playoffs. You'd have to say that is quite unlikely. They might make us look a bit silly if that's the case, but such is the joy of working in live media. Speaking of miraculous football achievements, Doncaster have reached the League Two playoffs. Now, if you just hear that, you're probably questioning what is miraculous about it. Well, in match week 26, they were in the relegation zone, 22nd place. 11 match weeks later, they are now fifth, John.
Yes, they've had the best recent form in the country, barring anyone. Not Manchester City, not Arsenal, nobody like that. Until this weekend, they're on a 10-game winning run, and it unfortunately came to a draw with a Gillingham on Saturday.
Now, we may not have seen it coming, but Rovers manager Grant McCann saw the potential much earlier in the season.
It's a credit to all the players, and people will talk about the Sutton game being a changing thing, but for 30, 31 games, we've been outstanding. We've put ourselves in that top seven, and it's a credit to the players, credit to our fans who've supported us up and down the country, and credit to everyone associated with the football club.
This sort of thing is pretty rare, but we have seen it done a couple of times, haven't we, John?
Yes, we've seen it a couple of times before. Like you say, it's not something that happens all the time because it's something really hard to do. Once you're on a losing run, you get used to losing, and it's really hard to then change that to make it a winning run. I'm from near Leicester, and I remember back in 2014-15, Leicester City had just come up from the Championship, and they were bottom at Christmas, and they looked consigned to the drop. they didn't look like they could win a game. And then suddenly something changed in them. And they won, I think it was 6 out of their last 8 games. They managed to finish 12th in the end. And then I can't remember what happened the next season. Something amazing.
Something must have happened. 2015-16 Leicester season.
Yeah, no, something. It doesn't come to mind, really.
Maybe to do with the title? I'm not really
Maybe.
Sure.
Maybe. And then a couple of seasons ago in the Championship, we saw Nottingham Forest in a similar situation. They were bottom of the table, or they were relegation zone around Christmas time. And then they just got onto a run and they eventually got promoted.
Yeah, it's about the mental shift, isn't it? I mean, I know I'm down from Exeter and they had a mental shift. They were on a real losing streak until, I think it was New Year's against Portsmouth. They got a draw and then they suddenly went winning. And now they're mid-table. And, I mean, you see the same thing happening with Leverkusen in terms of a mental shift. Last season, Xabi Alonso came in and where were they, like 17th? They were down near the bottom. This season, unbeaten. I mean, it's mental, the last-minute goals they're scoring. It shows their mentality, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think it's one of these things that it's just about luck sometimes. And once your luck's going your way, and if you can then build on that and build on that and build on that, you just feel invincible. And you go into a game feeling like you cannot lose. And that must be the best feeling in the world.
I mean, it must be how Doncaster are feeling right now. All these things we've talked about, they're big achievements, but Grant McCann won't put himself into that category yet. They still have their playoff semi-final against Crewe to contend with.
I wouldn't say it's an achievement. The achievement is obviously to get promoted. That would be an achievement. We've done well to get to this point. Of course we have, you know, and you know, we'll keep our feet firmly on the ground. We'll get back to work on Monday and we'll prepare for the game when it comes up.
I mean, I'd say it certainly is an achievement. I mean, granted, if they don't get promoted, they'll probably be slightly disappointed. But from 22nd to 5th in 11 match weeks, that is a massive achievement.
I think this is a little bit of talking to the media and saying what they want to hear. Because he doesn't want to go and put pressure on his players after they've done so amazingly this season. So he just wants to make it so that they feel comfortable going into this game against Crewe. When realistically, if you look at it from the outside, they should be hoping to get to Wembley. They should be expecting that of themselves after what they've just done for the last 10 weeks.
Yeah, it was 10 matches winning in a row before the draw at Gillingham, wasn't it? And, I mean, you'd expect... We talked about it earlier, Leicester. What did they do? They had the great escape and then the next season they won the title. So what are we thinking about that next season if Doncaster don't do it?
On to our other sides now, with both Huddersfield and Barnsley in the end-of-season shake-up in their respective leagues. Huddersfield are almost certainly relegated from the Championship. They need to win and have a 15-goal swing in the game with Plymouth, which could happen, but we have to say it's pretty unlikely. So they're facing an uphill task to beat promotion-chasing Ipswich. Barnsley are also limped into the playoffs after a mixed season where they were expected to challenge for automatic promotion. The Tykes haven't won in their last 6 games and will face high-flying Bolton in the playoffs, who haven't lost in 7. So a big task for Martin Devaney, the interim manager, after the sacking of Neil Collins a week ago.
To give us the view of a fan from the division, we spoke earlier to Dan Stacey, Wigan fan and EFL expert. He started by telling us about the best teams in the division.
That would probably have to go to Portsmouth, to be fair. I mean, they've won the league by, I think it's 5 points in the end. And when they came to our place earlier on in the year, they just looked like they were going to run away with it. And ultimately, they have done. So, yeah, they're probably deserved winners. In terms of sort of a slightly more out there one, Leighton Orient looked quite good, but they've ended up finishing in mid-table. So it's been an interesting season.
Now, as a Wigan fan, obviously you've faced all of the teams in the playoffs. What did you make of them, and like, how do you think their chances are?
Well, funnily enough, the team who probably go into it as favourites are obviously our rivals, Bolton, and we did the double over them, so they're not particularly special. And the same goes for Peterborough as well. We did the double over them. So, in terms of the teams finishing third and fourth, I can't really speak too highly of them, although they've obviously been consistent throughout the season. Then Oxford kind of came out of nowhere, really. They were on a bit of bad form, but seemed to have picked up recently. And obviously Barnsley, I'm sure, will be of most note to Shoe Radio listeners. And yeah, they've had another interesting season. I mean, you say you want to come into the playoffs in good form, and I think they won once in a month and a half or something crazy like that. So yeah. They've recently sacked their manager, and they're definitely facing an uphill battle in the playoffs.
I think it's something like the last six not winning a game, which is a bit mental.
What do you make of their decision to get rid of their manager last week?
I think the timing's definitely strange, particularly as they've not brought anyone in. Ultimately, you know, it's one of those decisions that could prove a stroke of genius, but if they don't end up going up, then questions will be asked. But it's fair to say that something sort of needed to change, in the sense that, like, you know, like Will says there, they haven't won in six games. But equally, you know, do you just trust the manager to give a go at the playoffs and maybe make a change afterwards? I'm not sure. So it's an interesting change. They would have beaten Northampton on the last day, but for a very late equaliser. So you could argue that it maybe had the desired effect. But yeah, it's they definitely have a tough battle against Bolton, who like I say, finished third, and not against Wigan, but against everyone else, seemed to be pretty good.
as a Wigan fan, then, I guess, would you prefer to see Barnsley still staying down in League One? And I mean, you had 8 points deducted from you at the start of the season. If they hadn't been deducted, you may have been in and around the playoffs. Is that one of those rivals, playoff rivals, that you'd like to see next season instead of the other ones?
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough one, isn't it? Because ultimately, you know, in order for Barnsley to stay down, that means that our rivals get a day at Wembley, which you never really sort of want to openly admit to. But I mean, like I say, Barnsley are actually the only team in the playoffs that we haven't beaten this season, albeit due to a sort of quite controversial red card in one of our meetings. But there are a lot of sort of quality teams in League One, even ones that have missed out on the playoffs. So it'll be a strong division next year, obviously with Rotherham coming down as well, who you know, always do well in League One. So
Exeter fighting
regardless
for it
of
too.
Who goes up and who stays down, it'll be tough.
And just finally, what do you make of Wigan's chances next year in League One?
Well, depending on recruitment and, you know, all that good stuff throughout the summer, it'll be, I reckon playoffs is probably the aim. Ultimately, we're still sort of rebuilding a club from scratch, really. But yeah, let's say top six would be the aim.
Thank you very much for joining us, Dan. We'll talk to you again soon. So we
no
heard
problem, John. Thank you.
So we heard Dan's view there. What do you think about sacking a manager with this much notice for the playoffs?
I would echo Dan's view, to be honest. I think it's so silly. Like, even if you're on a bad losing streak, why are you putting an interim manager in for the playoffs? It's like, it's reminiscent of the Tottenham sacking Jose Mourinho before the final. Like, why would you not let a top level manager at least have his go at the final? They're in the playoffs anyway, even if he wasn't sacked, even if they went on a full losing streak when he was sacked, they're in the playoffs. So give him the chance.
I think something must have happened behind the scenes. I think something must have happened that we don't know about, because, like you say, it just doesn't make sense. Unless you've got somebody who you know is going to come in and definitely win your next two games, which that nobody's out there, because you don't know that somebody's going to come in and win the next two games, because they don't know the squad. They don't know who they're coming up against. They don't know all this stuff. When these guys have, and all the managerial team that have been sacked, they've been planning this for months. They know what they knew what they were coming up to. So even with a bad run of form, you just have to say it's a massive, massive risk to make the decision now, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, to play devil's advocate, I mean, it's a kick up the backside for the players, isn't it? But why would you get rid of a manager? And, like, an interim manager, they'll probably give the players a bit more motivation to be like, oh no, we failed our last manager. Like, our last manager was sacked because of our performances. We'll kick on and we're in the playoffs right now. But, again, it's reminiscent of the Jose Mourinho stuff. And I don't see why. In women's sport, the final of the Sheffield and Hallamshire County Cup final was played yesterday, and our reporter Joe Burton was there. What happened, Joe?
Yes, so the Doncaster Bells suffered late heartbreak in the final at Hillsborough. The stoppage time goal saw them go down 3-2 to Huddersfield Town. Terriers forward Yasmin Mason proved the hero with a hat-trick for the National League North Premier side to eventually sink a Bell side from a division below, who came from behind twice in the second half to level through goals from Hannah McWilliams and Phoebe Snedden before conceding in stoppage time. We spoke to Bell's manager Kieran Toner after the game to get his immediate reaction on what was a valiant performance for his side.
I'm really proud of the players. I said to them at the end of the game, you know, we come here and we knew it was going to be a tough test, a tough challenge against a side that's the level above. And I said that we wanted to come away with people saying that we were a team, a good team, a team that could play, a team that could compete against good teams. And I felt we did that.
Kieran Toner there speaking after the defeat to Huddersfield Town. His side have one game remaining away at Barnsley next weekend to complete their league season.
Let's hope that the Doncaster men's, they don't lose their final if they get into the playoffs. But that's really good performances from both Doncaster teams, really, and a really good season for them both.
Yeah, they're riding the wave. I think that extends the women's team as well. The whole town is bouncing.
Yeah, on the other side, Huddersfield Town ladies, they obviously are doing much better than the men in terms of performances and results, trophies as well.
Yeah, they've had a bit of a tricky season, but it's always good to get that sort of lift at the end in front of a good Hillsborough crowd as well.
Yeah, definitely.
To the Crucible now, because we're talking snooker and the World Championships. Jack Jones beat Si Jiawei 13-9 to secure his place in the quarterfinals, while Stephen Maguire beat Sean Murphy by the same scoreline in a fiery match between two men who know each other very well indeed.
Elsewhere, Ronnie O'Sullivan will resume his fixture against the Welsh world number 18, Ryan Day, with a 10-6 lead. The Rocket is aiming to win his 8th world title to take him one clear of Stephen Hendry.
He just doesn't know when to stop, does he? He's 46. Well, he was 46 when he won his last one. He's now 48 years old.
Oh, it's mental. It's mental. I can't see him stopping either. It's a bit like Phil Taylor for the darts. Like, you can't see them stopping.
Well, it's weird, though, because he doesn't love snooker. It's not like he's doing it for the love of it. He's said so many times that he doesn't love the sport. He does it for a job, and because he does it because there's something inside of him which he doesn't know what else he'd do. So there's this guy who's just still one of the best in the world, and I think he will win the World Championships this week, or next week, rather. But why is he still doing it?
Well, it's almost a curse for him that he's so good at it. Like, if he's not enjoying it, but his ability is making him stay, it's a curse for him.
Well, yeah, I mean, I wish I was good something. I wish I was that good at something that I could just do it for as long as I wanted and then quit whenever I wanted. But we are, of course, proud to have the Crucible here in the heart of Sheffield, but that might not be the case for much longer.
No, there has been debate for years around whether the World Championships will be moved away from the Crucible, which will be a bit sad for us in Sheffield. And now it appears more likely than ever. Barry and Eddie Hearn, the owners of Matchroom, the company that owns the championships, were pictured alongside Ronnie O'Sullivan in Saudi Arabia to promote new sponsorship deal for the tournament.
This will likely raise questions about whether the tournament will follow the lead of other sports and move its biggest events to the Middle East, like boxing and football, when the current deal comes to an end in 2027. Ronnie sounds like he's pretty keen for it to happen.
As a player, and I speak, I think, for most of the players, that facilities, practice facilities, hotels, getting in and out of the venue, you know, just not having to worry about where am I going to eat. You know, when everything's just all laid on for you, you kind of go, all I've got to do is just go and play my match, which is great, you know.
What do you think about these guys being moved, well, all of these tournaments and championships and all of these different things being moved over towards Saudi Arabia?
I'm not really sure. It's such a tough one. I mean, you see in boxing, the crowds that follow them, I mean, you follow the people of your nationality a lot of the time, don't you? So British people will follow Anthony Joshua and Tyson Fury. Ukrainian people will follow Alexander Usyk. It's the same with football as well. You've got big crowds that are wanting to, local crowds that are wanting to come watch your team play live. And if they're moving it away far abroad, the average person can't go and watch it.
I mean, if we're honest, there is one main reason why these things are moving over there, and it is for the money. And that's fine. Yeah. But these people, these sportsmen and sportswomen, obviously, they deserve to be paid well for what they're doing. These are the best athletes in the world and they deserve to be paid as such. But it's not fair on the fans, is it? Like, I would love to go and see a heavyweight boxing fight one day, but I can't go to Saudi Arabia for that.
I'm guessing that's what Ronnie is saying about the treatment for players. The treatment of players is that they're getting more and more dollar. That's pretty much what it is. But the sports are a fan sport as well. It's not just about the performers. And not everyone wants to watch it on TV. And that's especially the same for football. That's especially the same for boxing. And here at Sheffield in the Crucible, that's the same for the people who want to watch it in the Crucible.
Yeah, 100%. This has been held in the UK, or in Sheffield, since 1977. It's part of the folklore of this city. It's when somebody asks you about Sheffield, you think Crucible, you think snooker. And that's great for everyone, for the local economy, for the city. But if we're honest, the Crucible isn't what it once was in terms of facilities. Like Ronnie was saying, that the food isn't great. The backstage isn't great. So it's going to take some investment to convince these snooker players to keep it in Sheffield? Because I think they would. If the place was as good here as it is going to be in Saudi Arabia, I think they'd love to stay.
Yeah, 100%. And it's something that I don't know how they're going to get investment for that. I mean, Saudi Arabia has seems an unlimited amount of money when it comes to these sports stuff. And how you're going to tempt people to stay when there's that much on the other side. I mean, La Liga, we see that with the footballing league and La Liga. They're potentially moving some of their matches, league matches, by the way, out to the USA. I mean, who from Spain is going to travel to the USA to watch these league matches of their local team? It's money reasons, monetary reasons, as we think. And it's quite tough to see as a fan.
Well, it's quite sad, really, but it's been coming for a while, specifically with La Liga. Like, the Spanish Super Cup has been held in Saudi Arabia for years.
Yeah.
And you think, oh, let's have a couple of matches in a faraway land.
Yeah.
And then let's have a few more. And then suddenly you've got loads of matches and you've got a Super League, which everybody didn't want a couple of years ago. And suddenly we're heading towards it.
I mean, in that sense, you're asking the question, when is it going to still be La Liga? And when is it going to turn into the USA Spanish League? Now, a couple of short lines from Rugby Union. Stuart Hogg has this morning left a rehabilitation facility and has tweeted his thanks for support from those around him. The former Scotland fullback was arrested in late February on suspicion of causing fear and alarm by acting in a threatening or abusive manner. He said in a statement posted on social media that he was significantly affected by online abuse, which led him to attending rehabilitation.
Elsewhere, England star Billy Vunipola has been arrested and detained in Mallorca after being involved in an incident in a bar. The 31-year-old was reportedly tasered twice by police. His club, Saracens, said this morning in a club statement that they are aware of the incident and will deal with it internally. That's it for today. Thank you very much for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. Goodbye.
Goodbye.